Live from the Mountain West Conference Media Day at Circa Las Vegas, it's Cofield and Company.
All right, here we go. 3 o'clock is here. Cofield and Company, Mateo with the setup. Circa inside today. I'm not saying I'm a wimp. I don't even know. You know, it's been so pleasant inside of Circa during Mountain West Conference Media Day. I don't even know what it's like outside. I know it was hot when I left home.
It's not as bad as it has been.
Has it cooled down? Were we on the verge of, like, was it going to be like a six straight? No, it says 116.
It might not even be that it cooled down. It might be that we're just used to it now.
You're acclimated.
Yeah, we're like,
so 116 is nothing.
That's
like
right.
6 days in a row?
It's been a lot.
Have we had 25 plus of over like 100 or 105?
That sounds right. It's like the same streak as Angel Reese's double-double streak, I think. It's really stretching out.
This is real. We'll get into that in a couple minutes.
So is hers.
Okay. A lot of highlights here. I'm going to say, first of all, this right here was a godsend. Adam, I'm going to show you this.
Yeah, well, I knew you were looking for one.
Yeah. I missed out on they serve. They're very gracious here, Mountain West and Circa. They serve lunch, but they move. They turn the room quick.
They do.
And I had brought a little snack of my own, but I needed a spoon or a fork. And I was like, oh, I missed the window. And a young gentleman with the service staff here was like, I will get you a spoon, old man.
Yeah.
So, and it's well, a gold, and it's a golden spoon. It feels special. So I am well nourished coming into the show. There might be some cookies. Is there beef jerky over there? They got a beef jerky sponsor here. That old Trapper. You ever see those commercials?
I mean, I have.
I think the old Trapper left, though.
Well, they also have a live mascot. That's what that guy is, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, live. Yeah. It's the guy dressed up as like an old prospector.
Do you think he's a traveling old Trapper, or is he a Las Vegas old Trapper? Do you think they went down to one of the entertainment circles on Fremont, and they're like, you know what?
I'm actually
throw on a Daniel Boone outfit. Let's go.
I'm actually really annoyed that you are asking me this now.
Why?
As opposed to like 3 hours ago.
You wanted to interview him?
Well, he was sitting down at the press conference table. Nobody was asking him questions.
Oh, really?
I could have thrown that out. Are you local? Or I don't know if he might have been answering questions in character.
Well, that's what I wanted to see. Why didn't we grab him?
So I'd probably be like, where are you actually from? And he's like, I can't even. I was going to try to.
Prospecting country of.
No, I was going to say like the territory of Tennessee. And they're like, no, like it's a state now. I don't know what you're talking about.
You wanted to argue and bicker in maybe fake fashion.
Yeah.
You were going to test out your acting chops?
Well, I wanted to see if he was going to answer like he was whatever character he was dressed up as, or if he would actually answer questions like a normal person.
I would stay in character.
That's fair.
I'm guessing he's well compensated by the jerky company.
I don't think so.
I do need some jerky. We got
the jerky's gone over big.
We got stories about jerky in the middle of the show.
We have the
coach who loves beef jerky the most. We've got the inside info on that.
If you out there listening don't believe that we have sat here all day and watched the beef jerky table to see which coaches take the most jerky, you don't know the show.
You also watched. Yeah, I'm not going to do what I did yesterday. Where I was like, if you don't like Hard Knocks, and I had a whole list of all the positives of HBO's Hard Knocks, don't listen to the show anymore. It's life.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that. We also have, because not only did Adam keep a keen eye on the jerky stand, but he was also spying on table. Not only today do we have Plategate from the hot dog eating contest, we've got Egg Roll Gate, which is highly explosive. That's coming at 5 o'clock. I promise we will deliver on these 1 and 2 hour teases.
Can I also say that I just got, like, incredible. I feel like I can't get into specifics of this, I guess, but I think generically I can say this. I literally just got an email right now that has made me very excited.
Oh, really?
When the Raiders get back from Costa Mesa, they're doing late afternoon, evening practices instead of morning.
On the regular?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
All right, we got to dig into that. That has me excited.
I don't think
I can
give the exact details.
No, we can go official with it.
Yeah.
All right. Adam Hill, Steve Cofield, Mateo here at Circa. Griffin is back at the Finley Toyota studio. Okay, I have to. Theme of the day coming out of the gates here is cheating.
Sure.
So I'm going to give you four options. and you tell me where we start. And then I'm probably going to ignore you because I want to build to a certain point.
I know, because I already know one of them, and it's not cheating. But, okay, let's go ahead.
Okay, well, you know, I'm going to go one by one. It's mostly based on allegations and internet reaction. Cheater one, Angel Reese is now getting the stat stuff because other teams at the directive of the WNBA are helping her make sure that she gets her double-double. There are allegations out there that the opposition fouled her on purpose so that she'd go to the free throw line and get another double-double.
Wasn't the opposition team losing in the final minute?
It's the internets, man. It's Angel Reese.
But
they love her or they hate her.
But, I mean, that is a normal strategy in basketball, right? Where you foul a team when you're behind?
Do you watch basketball for real?
Never seen
it. Do you understand it like these people do?
Never seen a game in my life.
Okay.
Let me guess who these people are fans of.
I don't know. I don't do the research on that. I just see it, and I'm like, this is great. People are crazy.
I don't see how there's any sort of conspiracy to a team fouling when they're behind in the final minute of a game.
Cheater number two.
Okay.
Again, pointing more towards the WNBA, the concerted effort around the league, again, a league directive, for dozens of players flopping uncontrollably when covering Caitlin Clark. League conspiracy. Last night,
I thought it was just one girl.
She got really angry, and this feeds the red meat to the Clark haters, right? She got really angry, and she chirped a lot. So there are people who are like, she's not classy. She complains all the time. But for the Clark backers, they're out of their gourd because it's a constant effort to cheat the game of the integrity with the flopping.
I mean, I thought I saw one girl do it, and it was annoying.
It's been dozens. It's been dozens over weeks and weeks.
It was annoying and obnoxious.
Last night was a crescendo.
I absolutely get Caitlin Clark being annoyed that the one girl, like, every time she gets pushed, like looks like she acts like she got shot.
That was stupid.
It was stupid.
But it
didn't get called.
But again,
so.
To your point about Angel Reese being fouled, and she winds up getting the double-double, that is a strategy in basketball to try to slow the game down and get someone to miss free throws so you can catch up. And also,
by the way,
when someone is an aggressive offensive player and they're handling the ball, flopping and drawing fouls on the other side, that is part of the game.
Sure. I wish it wasn't.
I hate it.
That actually is part of the game I wish would go away.
So do I. But the officials buy it, so you have to honor what they do.
Although in this case they didn't. Like, they didn't give the call, so I'm glad. If they would have actually called the flop, I would have probably been fairly annoyed, but they didn't. They let it go, and then Caitlin Clark gave her a little stop flopping, which I'm fine with, too. That's what she should say. It's what she should do.
Well, someone had done it to her. Who was getting all pissed off at her? Someone was getting really pissed off at her like 2 weeks ago.
For flopping?
For the same thing. No, for head throws on offense.
Oh, she does it. But, again, that's not a critique of her. Everyone.
I got to tell you, one of the stories.
I hate it.
One of the things that became a pretty big story in the middle of the Mountain West Conference season with men's basketball at UNLV was DJ Thomas needs to do it more.
Yeah.
Like, needs to learn how to do it.
Yeah.
He's getting brutalized bringing the ball up the floor. Like, hey, there's certain savvy things you learn. I don't like it.
I don't either. And, as long as the refs continue to reward it, you're going to do it. And if I was a coach, I would advise my players to do it as well. They need to stop it. I've said if your head goes back the way that point guards do, there's no such thing as a foul. Because the foul is not doing that to you. You're doing that to try to draw the foul. And I get it because they call it. Stop calling it. And, in fact, make the rule if your head flies back and it's not directly caused by the contact from the defender, there's no such thing as a foul.
Cheating story number three. And we broke the story. After someone else broke it. We're the only sports radio station in the country who talked about this on Tuesday before it picked up steam. Of course we were, because it was from Competitive Eating and MLE. And if you want proof, there is a tweet out there on ESPN Las Vegas making reference to Plakegate. Now other people have picked up on it. The New York Post had a story on it. The frat guys on the Barstool site, they were all into it. I have hundreds of fans. I'm so friendly. Right, I just follow everyone. I you know what? DM me. Come on, let's go. P1 Brady was wondering on the show if we were going to get to this, he said he linked me the cheating scandal with Nick Weary and the hot dog eating contest, and he knows that we have Nick Weary on. We're friends of the family. He said, Cofield, what kind of company are we keeping these days? And I had to send a message back. I said, I'm devastated. This is a reference to yesterday. I refuse to talk about it on the show. Today's the day. We have to embrace this. It's another cheating scandal. And God Almighty, I'm going to say this again proudly, at least a week out in two different spots for the hot dog eating contest. What did we talk about with MLE? Major League Eating.
Integrity of the count when it's going to be such a close game.
And that the Shea brothers have got to have their S together or this could be a mess. And we see some weird thing, and I noticed it. Nick Weary finishes the contest with like 46, 46 and a half, 46 and three quarter hot dogs. They go to break. I look up on the web. 20 minutes later, he's at 51. I'm like, I don't know what happened. Something happened. And now there's allegation. By the way, anonymous, not those guys and women, just anonymous is the source on this on Eat Feeds. Which, by the way, I might be, if this is not true, I might be a little pissed at Eat Feeds. I guess they're just reporting the story.
Sure.
What do we think happened here?
I feel like
did he steal someone else's plate to take credit for another five hot dogs?
I think it's sloppy accounting. And it infuriates me because we saw this coming.
We talked to both Nick and Mickey and said the judges have got to be spot on.
And I think people kind of mocked it and, oh, you're talking about rules again with – yes.
With eating?
Yep. Yes. It's a competition. Rules matter. Rules are important. Counting is important. It's not usually that important because everybody knows Chestnut's going to win. But he wasn't in this year. It was going to be close. And, again, hate to bring it up, as always, there's betting on the event. So it has to be legitimate. It has to be counted well. You need better people than with these kindergarten basketball scoreboards of just flipping the ribbon every time. We're beyond that. We're a real event now. Well, we're not a part of it.
We are.
The Coney Island Hot Dog
we love
contest
it. We are.
Is a real event.
We're the official sports talk radio show of the Hot Dog Eating Contest. I'm not going to say which one, nor mention the sponsor or the parent company.
Is Nick?
Just of all of them.
Is Nick welcome back?
I'm not going to text him for a little. Here's the other thing. He's in the blueberry contest this weekend, and he's in the Wendy's Chicken Nugget in 2 weeks, and I'm just – like I am so scared. Like I know how you were because you're one of the lone defenders. You love Greg Berhalter. You love him, and I know yesterday you were like, I don't want to see this news. If I see the news that Weary has been suspended and he can't eat blueberries this weekend at that competition, I'm gonna be gutted again.
I literally just turned and saw that Barry Odom was standing like 15 feet away from us, yeah. And I was wondering, if he were to hear this. Would he be like, what are these idiots talking about?
Never going on that show again.
Or would he be like, you know what? I noticed the same. I was mad about the counting, too.
I think the latter.
I think so, too.
But I think the guy, we're going to try to get him on next week. Kruger did like a rapid fire eating contest. I think he may be into this.
Wait, what did he eat?
I don't even know. I watched the video so quickly. I think it might have been one hot dog.
That's not.
And he was going, I think he was going against a player, but it was like, out, I'm out, I'm done.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah. Do you want the fourth cheater of the day?
I mean, I'm a little distraught about the third.
It's Angel Reese and her stat stuffing. It's the WNBA defenders, and they're flopping against Caitlin Clark. It's Nick Weary and Plategate. And I'm going to give you the last one. I'm going to give you the last one.
I thought he was actually coming over.
I'm going to give you the last one. The Sanders family of the Colorado Buffalo Clan. I'm going to break off of this, Griffin. I'm just telling you right now. We're going to get into it. The Sanders family is absolute with the stuff they were saying yesterday is absolutely cheating the truth.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from the Mountain West Conference Media Day on ESPN Las Vegas.
Scott walked away. And I say that because I think he was going to make a pitch to come on the show. Not unhappy about that. But if he heard the show, he'd be like, I'm not coming on. We just met a dude. He's a college football guy, expert. So I'm not ready to move on from Plategate.
Sure.
But we'll have to hit it again in the middle of the show. So I was talking about cheaters, and listen, it's not, I don't even know if it's like a real term, but cheating the truth. I don't know if they're delusional and they actually buy this stuff or they really are masters of the media. And the Sanders family is just awesome at the work, awesome at the troll. I saw so many little videos and quotes coming out of Big 12 Media Day yesterday. I was like, these guys are absurd.
Wait, Big 12 Media Day was yesterday? Colorado's was.
Yes, it was.
Did the rest of the Big 12 have, yes. Was anybody there?
I don't know.
Is there another school?
I didn't see anything come out. I also heard that it was really poorly organized, which I think was sort of a suggestion from that person that the other schools were looking around like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
Like, is anyone going to help us from the Big 12? No, it was Colorado Day.
Yeah.
But you understand it in some ways. I mean,
sure.
there's a lot of good schools in that conference now. But on the cheating the truth thing.
Colorado's going to go undefeated, and everybody else is just competing.
Well,
so.
That's part of it. So let's start off with – I'm going to start off with Shador. Shador does a video. He's quoted as – now, keep in mind, Colorado went 4-8 last year. I think they're going to be 4-8 or worse. I actually think they could start out 0-7, best 2-5. Shador's quoted as saying, listen – we are, every week, we are that school's Super Bowl. I'm like, you were 4-8. I mean, could there be a little extra motivation? You know who created this is Dan Lanning with that whole speech that he did?
Yeah.
Like, whatever it was. I can't even remember it. It was pretty solid, but it was, you know, like, they're social media and Hollywood and we're football. I'm like, okay. You're not, maybe in the Big 12 because they didn't play these a lot of these teams last year. They're not everyone's Super Bowl. Georgia and Alabama might be. You're not. Go 500 in a season. But here's the thing. It's fun. And while I want to rail on it, I'm also like, I think it's a work. It's wrestling.
You don't think they believe they're going to be that good?
No. I mean, I think they believe they're going to be good. You know what? Deion is so good, though, passing the message. Maybe his kids do believe it. Like, we are the most hated team in the country. You're another game on the schedule. And probably an easy one for a lot of teams. And again, listen, I'm getting all critical. I'm getting worked up. I'm playing into what they want.
Bye week.
This is a work.
I think they do believe they're going to be that good.
Oh, God.
So I don't think they're – I don't think it's a work from them.
How do they explain last year?
I think
year?
It's a work from everyone else. Like, everyone mentally, else that buys into it.
Mentally, how do they explain what happened last year? It's a fluke? Injuries? Travis Hunter was around the whole year.
Conspiracy.
Oh, it's a totally different season.
Conspiracy. We were doing too well. They didn't want it.
What does that mean?
Refs, everyone.
Well.
Everyone worked against them to make sure they couldn't continue doing what they were doing.
I did love the way Deion answered – ESPN Las Vegas, on the scene everywhere. We're here. Willie Ramirez was our guy at the Big 12. Willie asked a really short, concise question. We saw it up on SportsCenter, tweeted out. And Deion talked about how he and Colorado are just judged differently.
They are. They looked at as not good. They're judged differently than what they think they are.
I think he was suggesting that now the standards put upon them are almost unfair. But who put out the standards?
And to the point, it is judged differently. When they were 3-0, and I distinctly remember this, and I'm not like not to we get plenty of things wrong too. Week one, they have a great win. They beat TCU. Everybody's freaking out. I had said before that game, I thought they were going to be really good. I came on Monday after that. And I said, yeah, I'm out. They're not good. And everybody's like, what? They just beat TCU. And I was like, did you watch the game?
Right.
They're not that good. They're just not.
Meanwhile, if you remember everyone, Damon, who's now at VSIN as a host, he came in, I think, that week or the next and wanted to reset the over-under win total, which was like 4.5. And he gave me 7.5. That was the other part of the audience. But you came in and you were like, they won. I don't like what I saw.
It wasn't good. They can't block anyone. It's bad. But to my point, they were 3-0, and everybody started saying, they've changed college football. They're the greatest thing. Nobody's going to beat them. And then they finished, what, 4-8 or whatever they were, and people are like, they're the worst team of all time. No, they're somewhere in between.
Okay, you're right. On that front,
they're somewhere in between.
That's what he's talking about.
Right. They are somewhere in between that. But it works both ways. Like, yes, they were judged harshly because they were so praised. When they were 3-0.
But Deion's also the one who did it.
Of course.
When he's doing his whole dog and pony show at the press conference, he points out, who was it, Ed Werder? And he's like, do you believe now? And everyone's like, wait, did Ed hate on Colorado before this?
He just
picked out a random media guy like, do you believe now? So he bought into it. He set a new standard.
I believe you're going 1-8 the rest of the year. Yes, that's what I believe. But they are judged differently because they did that. They did that to themselves.
Yeah, it really is brilliant stuff.
And it works both ways. Yeah. If they go 3-0 again, people are going to say it again.
364-1100. We got the big Battle for Vegas charity softball game coming up this weekend. VGK and the Raiders. Get your tickets at battleforvegas.com. We got two tickets to give out right now. It's all presented by Tobin Motor Cars, proud sponsor of the Battle for Vegas charity softball game. Caller 7-364-1100. Caller 7-364-1100.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from the Mountain West Conference Media Day on ESPN Las Vegas.
Day two out here, Circa Las Vegas. We're not hanging out at Stadium Swim. We're downstairs in the AC. Thank you, Circa. Extra nippy in here. Not really. It's perfect. It is perfect. All right, dealer's choice. I don't think you finished up on the Sanders. And I was saying how they're cheating the truth with their hype and their delivery yesterday at the media days. And Shador, the quarterback, saying, we're everybody's Super Bowl. I don't buy that. And Deion saying they are judged differently. Now, I think that is self-created with the hype on the front end. I find this season to be completely fascinating for them.
I think it's his last season, so.
That's very accurate. But for what? He has so much on the line, doesn't he? Or can they go 4-8 and again? He's like, I can't get it done in Colorado. NFL, here I come.
No, I think he's just done coaching. I just think he's coaching a son.
Yeah,
I think he looks at like a youth league that he's coaching a son in.
Yeah,
and when his son is done, he's done, unless he wants to go coach wherever his kid is in the NFL.
Be an assistant somewhere.
Yeah, maybe. He was making the pitch for the Raiders.
That was another thing in terms of, I was talking about cheating the truth. Stop. I mean, there's a chance they could be in a position, and Shador could be.
Need a quarterback.
A top 15 pick. I still think he's going to have, after another year of play, his presentation, his delivery, and I'm talking about stuff off the field, I think he's going to be a long shot to be a first-round pick.
Wow.
Well, I base it on – I don't. How do you even say wow?
Because it's a fairly weak quarterback class.
That's where we disagree. So I actually think it's going to be solid by the end of the year because these stories get rewritten. But the reason I'm like kind of snapping on it, I don't mean to sound like that. Adam Hill, Cofield and Company, we do this every day, right? We just watched Hard Knocks off season. Did you not watch the interviews with the quarterbacks? And how I'm gonna? It's the wrong word, but like they're all judgmental when they're doing the interviews. But in the interviews, like with his baggage coming from college football, the Giants said. Caleb Williams skipping a press conference at USC was a turnoff. I don't know if he can handle New York. Shador is going to give them, with his dad, so much material to be like, I don't know.
Well, I think you're judging Deion or judging Shador based on Deion. They're different people.
I know, but I think in a lot of ways they're locked at the hip. I think some of Shador's words and behavior is very Deion-like.
I feel like I've never even seen him talk. I think I honestly think that the Deion is – Deion, like one of Deion's whole strategies is like, here I am, look at me, and just let the kid –
You think he's covering for him?
What he is. Yeah. Not even – like just let the kid develop, do what he's going to do, be him. Deion's going to draw the attention to be like the circus clown distracting everybody away.
I don't think this was absorbed on a national level. There was – a little tweet battle with Shador and a former player.
Yeah.
And then Deion jumped in.
Exactly.
Trashing the kid.
Exactly.
But Shador kind of started the trashing
of the
kid.
But I thought Shador was covering for Deion in that case.
But you get if you're you're NFL people and you're grilling whoever, Caleb Williams, you know how much material Shador is going to give people where they're like, I don't know, man.
Probably. But I mean I would think
they just analyze it just at such a micro level.
I'm not defending Shador or like I said, I don't know enough about him as a person. I only see Deion stuck all the time. Like, is there a possibility he'd go to a meeting and just says, they're like, what about this? What about this? What's going on here? Look, my dad has done a lot of covering for me. I decided to cover for him on some of this stuff. That's not who I am. I'm not part of that. I'm my own guy. This is how I work hard. I do this. I'm prepared to be a quarterback in the NFL, and that's my dad.
Yes, that would be great.
Right.
There's also the narrative that developed over the summer where Deion's like, I'm only going to let him go to certain places.
Exactly.
Like, bro, you ain't going to have your choice.
Bronny.
Oh, Bronny stinks.
He doesn't stink.
Bronny slipped to the bottom of the second round.
That's all.
Did he slip?
But my
point is, that was a long shot.
But did he slip, or were teams told
they,
not to draft
they
him?
They think he's this guy's going in the top 10.
Sure. But I'm saying, did he slip, or teams were told not to draft him? We don't know.
I don't think you can do that in the NFL with a quarterback.
And it also could be.
I think that's a game you do not want to play.
Yeah, I think all of it's a game, and I think with that family, it's all a game right now. And is it him already knowing his kid's not going to be a top 10 pick, and saying, "I determine where he goes," and he goes in the third round? That's because I said to go in the third round of this game.
I like this. I do because I do recognize I'm going to get all worked up, and it's good radio material. But they could be, just popping back a chair, laughing at us.
They're smarter than you. They play the game better than you.
Part of me believes it is a work, but part of me believes that they are delusional.
And this sounds like something that old people use to criticize, younger people, younger generation.
Yeah.
But it's not, like, for me, it's absolutely I'm praising them. They understand content. They get it. They're great at it. That's what they're doing.
It works.
It does.
It works. But I don't know that most NFL GMs who are also old people, even the young people are old. Joe Shane is old at whatever he is, 40.
He loves peanut butter and jelly.
He is. What a. All right, we'll build on this in the 4 o'clock hour. But up next, we got the Chicago. Let's get around that kind of grab hold of all the buzz that was Team USA this week, and we'll talk what the game was like with one Xavier Pope.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from the Mountain West Conference Media Day on ESPN Las Vegas.
This is our favorite part of Media Day because we are afternoon drive. I think it's just us in San Diego. We'll be on. And they're quiet. They're actually a quiet show. So we have the whole place to ourselves.
Should we scream? Just like enjoy it?
Well, I did yesterday.
Like kids in the, kids left home alone.
But I told you what I was doing yesterday, right? Because I was all amped up after watching Hard Knocks, and I was in that football mentality. I wanted someone to tell me to quiet down, and I was going to get up and fight.
Well, who was here to tell you? Nobody.
Well, yesterday there was.
That's true.
People kept turning around. I'm like, listen, I'm doing a radio show, and I just watched a bunch of football shows. I'm amped. Let's go.
Fair.
I was amped last night. I wasn't at Team USA. I saw you were there. Arash was there. Arash is coming up in a couple minutes. Xavier Pope is in with us here on a Thursday. Xavier, how you doing, buddy?
Pretty good. How you doing, Steve?
Too fired up. I'm a dope. I watch these football shows, the reality shows, Hard Knocks, and Wide Receiver, and I see the football thing, the whole coaching structure, and I want the real world. I want the workplace to be like that. So, unrealistic, I know.
You just want football back. Like everyone else in the middle of the summer, star for the NFL, NBA, possibly the NHL. You need to get your hands on the game the way possible.
That is part of it. That is part of it. But I also like the way football teams are managed, and I like that going into a season there's battles for jobs. Like, I think all of our jobs should be on the line this month. And if I get fired at the end of August because I didn't do a good job, I get cut, and maybe I'll make another radio station. I like resetting standards.
Well, if you are the star, Steve, of this network, then you're not going anywhere. You're just sitting by and watching everyone else take reps.
Are you trying to call me on the carpet, basically? Like you're lying, you're safe. Maybe that's the case. So, Xavier, I got to get your take on what's going on here in Las Vegas. This is the middle of our NBA convention because we got the Summer League starting up tomorrow. We just had Team USA here, and then we had all these luminaries, past basketball players, legendary coaches, play, you know, I said players already. I just wanted to get your take on, I thought it was really cool because I'm over at UNLV all the time, of Kamala Harris, the vice president, just walking into practice. Adam was there. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I've been in that environment before with Team USA and all the different summer league. There's so many people that come to that city. That's such an interesting time there. And so to have to represent Team USA and then have your representatives who represent you giving you props has to be cool for any athlete and certifies that what they're doing is truly for the benefit of the country.
Well, how come every time anybody says certified now, all I hear is Kendrick?
Oh, wow.
Every time. I can't do
it. You got to keep it A minor.
Exactly. A lot of what the player said about Kamala being there and then obviously with Obama at the game last night is that it just reminds you what you're playing for, right? Like, you're playing for the country.
Yeah.
It means that much more. Like, that is a cool part of having some of these people around.
That's the only reason why they're doing it, Adam, Steve, is that they're representing the country. To have confirmation of that from the leaders of their country means a lot. And we underestimate it here in America because we sometimes take advantage of freedoms that we have. But in other countries, those athletes take it extremely seriously. The citizens of those countries really take it like it is the pride and the future of their countries on the line. So I think as we have to step back in an era where democracy is under attack, as individual rights are under attack, to understand that what representing your country truly does mean.
I think there's a few layers to Obama being at the game last night. First of all, there was every basketball player on the planet was there, past and present. Nobody was cooler than Obama. But every time, it's like probably the fifth time I've been around him, it strikes me that everybody treats him like he's so cool. He's a massive nerd. Like, he's a nerd. He's not cool, but then everybody treats him like he's cool. It's very interesting to see.
Are you jealous, Adam, that you think you are cool but are treated like you're not cool? And I'm someone who isn't cool and treated like they're cool?
Let's be clear, just so we know, he is my favorite person on the planet.
I was going to say, typical Adam.
Like, I'm
with
clear about
with
that.
With his anti-Obama
But he
nonsense.
Is a nerd. Like, he's just – I do think there's part of it in – I'll ask you like this, Xavier. I mean, compared to presidents, he's cool. But I think people are like, oh, he's a black guy, he's cool. Like, it doesn't – he's just a nerd.
It doesn't work that way.
It doesn't work that way.
You were just going to say it
doesn't.
You don't automatically get the cool card.
No, you don't automatically get the cool card. President Obama has been shown doing cool things to the way he walked. That became a big thing, the way he would walk to a plane and jog. All I've seen is him being cool. And the fact that he was cool and he became the president of the United States and was the smartest guy in the room, there's only a few guys like that in every high school who played quarterback, who was at the debate team, who was valedictorian. There's a guy like that named Shabari Bailey who went to my high school, another attorney, God rest his soul, threw out a first pitch at a World Series game. He just did all these cool things. He was just the guy. And Obama's just one of those guys.
He's cool for a president.
We grade everything on the show. We grade everything on the show.
Becoming president is cool.
That's
is it? Is it?
Maybe not.
I mean, since him, is it? Yeah.
I think it's cool for racists and people who love criminals and people who attack the country. I think they think that's cool. I think it's cool. Like Amber Rose, I think it's cool to put Trump jewelry all over her head. Trump to wear have golden Trump shoes. So. Cool is relative to people, it seems like in the era.
Are you looking forward to her speech at the convention?
The DEI speaker? There's no reason that Amber Rose would ever be invited to the RNC convention unless she didn't become basically another token, a diamond in silk. The Republicans, they are so desperate for talent to support bigotry, hatred that they spew in this country. They look for people in marginalized groups of black people, biracial people, Latin people, Asian people to stand up for those different values that really, frankly, should not be in our modern discourse, but here we are in 2024.
Cofield & Company. Xavier Pope is with us, attorney out of Chicago, joins us every Thursday. Just up front, tell me if I'm a degenerate or just a real scumbag. I want to be able to bet the presidential election.
No, that's awesome. Okay. Right now, gambling, game, sports gaming, gaming in all different ways is normalized, Steve. I don't think that's even – that was probably the least outrageous thing I've heard us talk about so far. So I think that that's just part of it.
Okay. The odds are up. We don't have – I accept that. Yeah, I don't even – it's like I don't even have to come back on it. The odds are up. You can bet this in Canada, in Ontario. BetMGM has the numbers up. They just moved Kamala Harris to 6-1. Biden's 5-1. Trump is a favorite to win at minus 165. I mean, you follow this stuff. Adam follows it a lot. You follow it. I see you up on social media. Do I need to put some money down on Kamala Harris? Is she going to replace Biden?
I'm definitely not putting money on Kamala Harris. I think you should put the money on Biden. I talked about this. You started this whole segment with your obsession with wanting to get football in the middle of summer. There are many storylines, like with the whole turning over, all the Bernie conspiracy theories with Hillary Clinton in 2016, with, hey, people supported Hillary Clinton to be the first woman president, and we're going to the convention with Obama, and they split it and all this. These are storylines that either define an election or become that's part of the summer. Biden being old, a debate performance when there are others on the way. It's just where it is right now.
Xavier Pope with us. Okay, I need more advice. We were talking about the Sanders dudes. I'm not going to say boy because certainly Dion is a man. They were here yesterday for Big 12 Media Day, and they were a hoot. Mm-hmm. And I came in today. I'm like, man, they had. I don't know if they're like going with a wrestling work here with all these outlandish statements about their everyone's Super Bowl. What do you think? Mm-hmm. Are the Sanders to be believed on a lot of stuff they say at the highest level of football, or as Adam said, they're just great content developers?
You have to understand this, and we've seen athletes, commentators be outrageous, and that's just part of their shtick, their spiel, their personality. And if you are not one of those people, you may not necessarily relate on that. But the Muhammad Ali, the Jack Johnson, in history, they're not the first people to be braggadocious. Dion, when he was a player. And do they mean every single thing they say? Well, who cares? I mean, they're entertaining. They get attention to what they do. And, frankly, they're good at what they do. Sit back and watch the show, and you get a chance to criticize them when they're wrong.
Yep. Well, here's the thing. As a sports talker, they're gold. They're radio gold because I can go crazy over it. But there's always a part of me that's like, hey, am I going too nuts on this? Because, essentially, it's just kind of a wrestling work. And then here's the other one. There's also, I think there's a real father-son dynamic. Adam was talking mm-hmm. about, you know, Dion's kind of covering for Shador, and I was explaining, hey, Shador's going to have to explain some things when he goes to the NFL. I'm going to tie this to being a dad with LeBron and Bronny. Why is there so much vitriol around Bronny James?
No, the vitriol is really LeBron James. LeBron James has always been a polarizing figure for a variety of reasons, which namely it's on the whole, the fans who support teams and what's traditional and supporting corporations when they don't need to be supported on the level that against the fair labor and what LeBron James represented when he went in the decision. And so once that happened in his career, he just became a polarizing figure. And speaking of WWE, anything that makes you have to choose a side, like what Deion Sanders and Shedeur Sanders and how he speaks and what LeBron did at the time, will be part of what sports talk radio is. And that's what part of sports talk radio is built on, is having to choose a side and choosing that side emphatically like fans like to do.
All right, let's close on this one. Let's get to some of your legal expertise. This always gives me a little bit of pause in what we say and how we say it. This Brett Favre thing, and it's a big deal in Mississippi with the allegations out there that he – you know, he had a work going, and he was stealing money. He is still attempting to sue talkers Shannon Sharp and McAfee. Why is this still going on? I thought this got kicked out of court. It's still happening.
The first fact you started out by saying Mississippi is funny by itself. I thought I mentioned the accent there. The second thing, Steve, is that when you lose a case, you still have a right of appeal. So they filed the case in federal court alleging defamation because of Shannon Sharpe calling him a sleazeball. Pat McAfee, they're not continuing on with him. I think that's really interesting, considering the politics that Pat McAfee espouses, that pretty much in line with what Brett Favre likes to talk about. But you continue on with the black guy, Shannon Sharpe. So that's the angle where I see there, underneath the tone of it all. But Brett Favre, the public figure, that's what Sharpe's attorneys allege. And this is a matter of public concern. And he did wind up paying back $1.1 million, speeches he didn't make. And then there's still the issue of the stadium, but Brett Favre hasn't been charged. If I was Brett Favre, even though you have that right of appeal, you might want to kind of keep this on the low instead of going against a brother in court. But that's me.
You would think. One Chicago-centric quick note to talk about. The Bears back on. Do you know the Bear? Do you know the restaurant? Or you know the theme? I'm sorry, the show?
I've heard of the show. They're running. They have all these cool signs for the show that are all over the buses and signs in Chicago.
Okay, cool. They're doing a fine dining restaurant at Orleans and Huron. I think that's how you say it. It's the Bear, the name of the restaurant. Are you familiar with that area at all? I know the L must be near because they shot a scene near the L. Like, would that be an area for a fine dining restaurant?
I am literally teaching yoga about a block from there.
You are? Okay.
About 30 minutes, which I do after my segment on every Thursday. So I know they are very well. There are a lot of great dining establishments in River North. Great neighborhood, a lot of things to do.
Excellent.
Particularly going to Ritual Hot Yoga in River North, where I'm about to go teach right now.
Well, I think the whole point of the show is that you can have a fine dining restaurant anywhere, and it was an Italian beef joint. They're still selling Italian beef. I will go on and on, but we're up against it, so thank you so much.
Love you guys.
See ya. You know what? I didn't say it. Love you, Xavier. No, I appreciate the feedback there.
I need them on, Beth.
No, I've been nailing it lately. Mateo's been around for it. I forgot. I got excited, and I'm like, it's almost 58-20. So there you go. I feel like all we're talking about today is just getting fooled into talking about stuff. The whole world is a work.
It's true.
Everything's a wrestling bit.
That's how it works.
Because, as I mentioned earlier, with Shador and Dion, and you were talking about covering for dad and the dad's covering for the son, I was like, well, you know, I'm trying to be really nice about the LeBron situation with Bronny, so maybe I should be giving Dion the same sort of respect. 4 o'clock hours on the way.